Welcome to Bruce Hurwitz Presents Meet the Experts. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing. You can find us on the web at hsstaffing.com. I hope you'll consider us for all your staffing, career counseling, and speech writing needs. I am delighted to be joined today by Carrie Prejean. We will be discussing system versus people-dependent business. Meet the Experts is sponsored by P&K CPAs. P&K is a full-service accounting firm. They provide accounting and consulting services to businesses ranging from startups to small and mid-cap companies to nonprofits as well as high-net-worth individuals. Contact them today for a free consultation at pk-cpas.com or call them at 973-882-8810. They will be happy to be of service. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bruce. Glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Please take a moment or two and introduce yourself to our viewers.
I have traditional accounting background, CPA, all that. Worked as a CFO for a number of businesses over the years, and started my own consulting firm. I had done consulting for a while and then had a client hire me for about 5 years. Then I started it back up in 2015, and I do CFO consulting for small to mid-sized businesses.
Very nice. Now tell me, what is a system-dependent business?
A system-dependent business, I'll give you an example, is McDonald's. They have systems for everything, how long to fry the fries, how to cook the burgers, how to do everything. That's not the greatest hamburger in the world, right? But they have a system they can have high school kids come in there and make the burgers, as opposed to, say, a mom and pop place might get a much better burger, but the owners typically can't take off much time because of everything. The business is very dependent on those people. The owners generally make sure the quality is there, the wait staff is there, scheduling, handling everything. You get a much better burger, but the owners, the business owners, are chained to the business. Whereas McDonald's franchisees, they might visit their franchise restaurants every now and then, or they have managers that see them. So that's sort of an example where you have a business that's driven. It's not necessarily so much dependent. I mean, that's one word. A different word is you want a systems-driven business rather than a people-driven business. The distinction, you don't want your business depending on key people that have special knowledge that's not documented, that's not widely known, because if they leave for vacation, they die, they quit, they whatever, get hired by a competitor, their department, their job function is going to be in disarray. You're going to be scrambling to try and reinvent what it is they did.
And that's your definition, without my asking it, of a people-dependent business.
Yeah. People-driven business where you have key players. They're the ones that make the magic happen. They're the ones that bring in the business or make the production flow, whatever. Whatever their contribution is. But again, they're the only ones who know how to do it, you know. And without them, the business doesn't work without them. So you want to be able to document what people do, not only what they do, but how they do it, what resources. And you want to have it integrated with other people in the business so that everybody knows what their part is and how it affects other people and when they have to have their, you know, when they have to have their bit done so the other people can get their bit done so things can get done on time so goods can get out the door, whatever it is. You want to have a well-integrated system that people operate, but the people are following the system rather than I know what I'm doing and nobody else does.
Well, the original topic that you gave, and which I had to shorten for space reasons, was a system-dependent business versus a people-dependent business. And the question that I was going to ask you was, why is there a contradiction between the two? But I don't think there is. And I don't think you're saying there is.
Well, I mean, you have to have people to operate the system. But rather than have the business depend on key people's special knowledge that nobody else has, it's not documented, you have systems that are documented and the people are more easily replaced. Now, again, you may have some high-skilled people that you'd have to go get another high-skilled person to fill that spot, like an engineer or what have you. But you want a system to where they can come in, read the system, get oriented with the system, and be back up and running fairly quickly, rather than I got to come in and figure out what's been going on, reinvent the wheel, maybe come up with my own thing. And then again, you have another business depending on that person, their special knowledge, rather than the system is documented. To me, they're pretty far apart.
You remind
most businesses.
Finish yourself.
Go ahead.
No.
I said most small businesses are going to be very people dependent. And again, it's quote nobody's fault. It's just most business owners have a talent at something that they do that makes the business. They're good at selling, they're good at manufacturing, they're good at being construction, relationship, whatever it is that has them go out and build a business, it starts a business. What they don't have training on is how to systematize the business. And again, I don't want to insult any business owners out there, but most business owners are great entrepreneurs. And typically the great entrepreneur is going to be a bad manager. A good manager is going to want to systematize the business, right? The entrepreneur is like, no, just get out of my way. They're impatient. They want to get things done now. They're always frustrated with how slow the rest of the world works usually. So what happens is, especially once the business grows, now whatever kind of verbal agreements you had on how things would work in the business, that's all blown apart. And generally what you wind up with is a dysfunctional business where, yeah, there are some key people that have to come in and save the day in and day out, until whatever, Frank, Joe, whoever it is, Sally gets here, we're going to have to sit here and wring our hands until they get here to fix it, because only they know how to do it. As opposed to having it systematized, everybody would know how to fix it. It wouldn't be dependent on so-and-so coming in and saving the day.
Well, I had a similar situation in a few places where I worked, where only the person who was responsible for the software knew how to use the software. So the boss, for example, did not know how to use, this was a nonprofit software, was basically for fundraising. He couldn't use the software. He didn't know how to use the software. He didn't want to learn how to use the software until a board member asked him a question and he said, I'll have to ask Bruce. I don't know how to use the software. And they were not happy with that response.
Right.
Which for me was an education because I realized exactly what you were saying. And then fast forward a few years, I was at a large senior services nonprofit, which we did had everything from a daycare program to a nursing home. And I had to go into the hospital for a small procedure. And I wrote up a report that I think I titled, What to Do If Bruce Gets Hit by a Bus. And it had in it basically everything I did step by step. I took a month to write it and I gave it to my boss and her boss. And they showed one of them, I think it was her boss, showed it to the chairman of the board, which got me into trouble with my colleagues because he said he wanted every director to have the same, to write up the same report. And I was shocked that it wasn't done. So why is this not something that's obvious? Because God forbid, and I'm saying this facetiously, but it's also a reality. Tomorrow you can get hit by a bus.
Yeah. Yeah. And why is it not so obvious? Because again, business owners aren't trained in that. It's kind of like cash management, most business managers aren't good at cash management because they don't have a cash management system. They don't have something to show them what I call the icebergs are coming next 7 days, 14 days, next month, and to prepare for it, either slow down payables, speed up collections, talk to the bank, do whatever you got to do, rather than, hey, boss, we got a $50,000 cash deficit today. What do you want to do about it? And then you spend a half a day to a day trying to fix it, right? Rather than having a system in place that shows them, hey, you got these potential cash crunch is coming up. You need to prepare for it. And again, it's not the business owner's fault. They never went to cash management school. But a good system, that's one of the things I usually talk about, I work with clients first, is the cash management system. So that they can see and get a better feel for, you have a big insurance payment coming up, you have a big tax deposit coming up, you have a big whatever coming up that's out of the ordinary, and you're going to have to navigate or have a system that'll help the business navigate around it, rather than here's a hand grenade gets thrown in your lap when the cash crunch hits, and then it's really prepare for it. It's reaction time.
When I used to teach entrepreneurship, I would tell my students that there were three things they should always outsource. Even if they only had one employee, they should outsource payroll, because if you mess up payroll, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Yep. The second, depending on how much mailing they do, is to outsource their postage, because the post office laws are almost as bad as the IRS regulations. It's, if somebody's coming from the nonprofit world and watching, they know exactly of what I speak and they are nodding in agreement.
Right.
And the third thing was accounting. How do you outsource systems, system creation, let's call it that? And is a system simply having software in place, or is it more than that?
It's a lot more than software. I mean, software is a tool that you can use to help you manage data, help, you know, all kinds of different data about your business. But the system is what people do, not just how to operate the software, but why they operate the software, what reports get generated, whether reports get sent, you know, who you send reports to, the significance maybe of whatever kind of reporting that comes out of it. I mean, just processing, getting billing done. You'd be surprised how many small businesses, it's always some big bottleneck getting invoices out. You know, rather than you invoice as soon as the product or whatever leaves the door, it's always, you know, they go into the middle of the next month or the end of the next month before the billing gets out. Well, billing affects cash flow. You know, payroll is another one. Yes, outsource it. If you have one employee, outsource payroll. The consequences of screwing up payroll, the IRS don't play. But yeah, the systems, you just have to develop systems that people can understand kind of in recipe form, monkey see, monkey do, real simple. Do this, then do this, then do this. You can have screenshots of what things look like. You can have screenshots of what reports look like, who they go to and why. And when the business changes, you have to update the system. You can't this has to be an ongoing process, and you want it on a main or whatever, your server, but you also want a written, one compendium written one for the owner, but also different binders for different departments.
Well, first I apologize to you and to our viewers for not having enough brains to turn off my phone before we started. I forgot.
No big deal.
I'm interested in change because change is the only constant.
Yep.
When is it necessary to change your systems? When you go from 10 to 25 employees, when you go from $50,000 in revenue to $100,000 to $250,000, when your client base grows from 20 people to 200 people, how do you do it?
Yeah, I don't really have like those kinds of watermarks of numbers of revenue. Generally, when it's time to update the system, you know, when you begin to notice there's a dysfunction in the business, when cash flow, again, cash flow is generally a symptom of something else not being done properly. Billing's not getting out in time, somebody's not doing collections properly, whatever. When you start to see dysfunction in the business, when the business owner has to get drug away from what he or she does best, which is generate business, they have to come in and deal with accounting, finance, tax, you know, maybe it's production. They don't really do production, they're in sales, but they have to come in and there's constantly a chronic kind of dysfunction in the business. That's generally because the system is not documented or the people operating the system aren't either educated on the system, or the system, as you say, has become outdated. So it's always, you're always looking for dysfunction. I mean, don't fix it if it ain't broke, but if it's broke, you want to make sure you fix it.
You reminded me of a conference I attended many years ago, and the speaker asked, the audience presumably was all business owners, little guys like me to big guys and gals. And he asked one question: how many of you know how much money you have in the bank right now? And only the little guys were able to raise their hands.
Right.
And then he asked, how many of you know how much money will be in the bank at the end of the week and at the end of the month? And no one knew.
Right.
And he said, what you're saying now, that cash flow is the most important metric. And you have to know that in order to know how you're doing. So what's the simplest way for someone who can't count without taking off their shoes and socks to understand their current financial situation?
Well, I like Excel. Excel makes a really, you know, easy little cash projection worksheet. You start with, what do you have in the bank? Less outstanding transactions or plus outstanding deposits. And then you have to have a really good feel for what are your monthly expenses or what's coming up. You know, what's your payroll? What's your bank notes? What's your taxes? What's your everything? Put all that in a schedule and then show like what's coming up in the next 7 days as well as what's coming in the next 14 days, as well as some conservative estimates of what kind of cash you have coming in the next 7 days, next 14 days. That spreadsheet should give you three numbers. What do you have? What cash do you have right now? That's outstanding at transactions. Like, what's the net? If everything cleared today, what would you have in the bank? Also, where's your cash position going to be in 7 days? Where's the cash position going to be in 14 days? And that should give you an idea of, like you say, what's your bank balance going to be in 7 days? Now, it's not exact, but it will give you a big heads up if suddenly you see in 7 days, I'm be negative $50,000. But you should have seen it the week before when it would be 14 days, it would be negative $50,000.
And is that a key to minimizing the number of interruptions in your workflow and your business operations?
Yes. To me, the business owner, let me say it this way. Yes. Number one, that's a good way to not have the business owner dragged into all the distractions for accounting, but also, there's a lot of different systems and reporting to where the business owner typically shouldn't have to spend more than about an hour a week looking at dashboards to see how the business is doing. Like, what are billings week to date, month to date, that kind of stuff. What do receivables look like? What do payables look like? What's the aging percentages? Any issues with any of the customers in terms of collection? Any issues with any vendors? All that stuff should be condensed into some very concise reports where they can just read them rather than handing them an aging report with everything on it. Then it's kind of like financial statements. For most business owners, it's some pages with a lot of numbers on it. They don't really know what they mean. They don't have a narrative that helps them see what their business is looking like financially and able to make some good decisions in terms of strategic planning to design the business into the future for their own best benefit. It's just, you know, are we making money and do we have enough cash? That's the most of them. What were sales like? Was enough profit? Do we have enough cash? And that's really their concern. They don't have a concern for liquidity and ratios and all that kind of stuff. And again, when the owner is willing to take the time to learn that stuff, it means a whole lot more to them, and they're willing to act on it rather than you haven't. And I've seen, you know, the accounting person goes, here's a financial statement for this month. Look at them overnight. Let me know if you have any questions. And they never have any questions because they're not really sure what they're looking at. Yeah, it looks okay. You make some money. You've got enough cash.
As long as the arrow is going up, they're happy.
Yeah, as long as the bottom line is, you know, consistent. But again, how many businesses you know that even operate with a budget or even a reasonable budget? A lot of them don't, you know, budget.
It seems to me that your entire approach is based on the rule, if you will, that the business should operate in such a way that the owner can do their job, which is to sell.
Precisely, or whatever it is. Some owners sell, some, generally their main function is to bring business into the business or help the business grow, whatever that is, that sell, manufacturing, construction, you know. Some business owners aren't good salesmen. You know, some of them are just fantastic. Some of the best salesmen you'll ever meet.
Sure.
But yeah, to tie the business owner is to free the business owner up from having to come in and, you know, deal with the weeds of the business. You know, and you have a sales tax audit or a payroll tax audit. And then next thing you know, the accounting department's got a stack of envelopes, certified mail this thick. They've been getting notices about, you know, tax assessments and penalties and interest. And they're too scared to go to the owner. Next thing you know, the tax man or tax lady shows up and they want a big check. And the owner is like infuriated, like, why didn't anybody tell me? Because they're too scared. And they didn't want to, they've seen how frustrated you get when you get drug into this kind of stuff.
I'm laughing because I was working at one company and I went to the boss because I couldn't stand the bookkeeper. My office was near the bookkeeper and I knew that every time somebody asked her a question, she called a friend. So if you wanted to know what your new net was going to be because you just got a raise, she couldn't figure it out. She barely knew how to use QuickBooks.
Wow.
And she didn't understand why saving at the end of the day was so important. And I couldn't figure this out. And I just went to the boss and I said, I don't mean to be critical. I'm just asking a straight question. I have no ulterior motive. Why do you keep this woman as your bookkeeper? And he looked at me with a straight face and said, because she's very good with the IRS. So I thanked him, I stood up, I went to my desk, I went home and I started looking for a new job because it was clear to me that she was very good with the IRS because she was such a terrible bookkeeper. She got her clients involved with the IRS in ways that you do not want to be involved with the IRS, which brings me to my question. In order for system and people to work together, to be complementary, there has to be a lot of transparency. There has to be a lot of trust. The culture has to be one that enables someone to deliver bad news to the boss along with good news.
Yep.
How do you achieve that?
Well, I mean, the number one person that has to, quote, buy into that culture is going to be the business owner. Mm-hmm. They can't shoot the messenger just that they have bad news. They have to just appreciate the system is going to bring them good news, hopefully most of the time, and some bad news some of the time. But don't shoot the messenger. It's generally not going to be their fault unless they, you know, screwed up some payroll tax deposit and that's why there's the assessment and some penalties. But and I've seen that where business owners will attack the accounting person that brings them the bad news. And therefore, nobody wants to go to the owner with bad accounting news, you know, and that's why things reach critical mass. And all of a sudden, there's this hand grenade in your lap and you got to deal with it. So the number one person that has to buy into it is the owner. And then from there, you're going to have your managers that really need to buy into it too. The thing I've observed is in some businesses, it's the people that fight the systemization of the business and the documentation of that system. Those are generally people who like want to have their own little black box, their own little special knowledge. It makes them key and they think it makes them, you know, you can't fire them because of it. And generally, those are the people that, you know, they're not going to last in the business once you go to systematized. Once you go to systems and documented systems and everything works by a system, the people that fight that, generally, you don't want to, they're not going to last. They're not, because they're not there for your business.
Carrot, I'm going to put up a slide now with your contact information. And as our viewers are reviewing that, I will ask you the final question that I ask all my guests. Okay. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you wish I had asked you?
I can't think of anything. I think we had a pretty good conversation about a lot of it.
Well, that's fine. That's a compliment to me. So I thank you. And I thank you on behalf of our viewers for taking the time to join me this afternoon.
Absolutely, Bruce. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
It was my pleasure.
Yes, sir.
I'm Bruce Hurwitz. Thank you for watching. And as always, please stay focused on success.